It's like this. I'm weird and you're weird. Let's be mates. I consider us a pair, so yeah. Let's be mates. Yeah, monkeys, I like monkeys. You like funk, I like it funky.
And welcome to episode 30 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm your host, Chuck Werner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern.
Oh, say man, hello, this guy's back. That guy came
DJ
back.
DJ guy is awesome. Will you say hello, Dave? Because I asked you to.
Oh, yeah. Hi. All right. I mean, I figured me talking was enough of a sort of... It's an implied hello. You know,
is that an implied hello?
It demonstrates my presence.
Do you just walk into people's houses and start talking?
Well, did that not happen?
When you answer the phone, you just launch into a tirade? Ring, 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 ring. So I was thinking the other day, why do we, you know, have tomatoes in the winter? We should just give up on it and only have them in summer months.
You know, actually, you clearly speak like someone who's called me, because not only do I do that, it's specifically that.
Specifically about the tomatoes.
Specifically
in the
tomatoes.
All right. Well,
seriously,
I'm Trying to Think as a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And you become a fan on Facebook by going to Facebook and searching for I'm Trying to Think.
And that's the things on the internet.
And that's the rigmarole. That's how we do. I haven't looked and seen if we have any more Facebook fans, but I don't think we do.
Yeah, I think that's right. I got some sort of weird summary email from them.
I think, yeah, I did too.
Summarizing.
That was new.
The amount of nothing that we do there.
We've hit the high watermark, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 30, we've got as many fans as we're going to get. Because I'm pretty sure we have as many fans on Facebook as we have episodes.
Yeah, that sounds like about right.
Episode 0 through negative 4.
We've hit our level. We're at a good plateau now.
Plateau?
I think I'm trying to think. No, I go with plateau.
Plateau?
Plateau.
Not plateau?
No, I don't think plateau is right.
I like plateau.
That sounds wrong. That sounds wrong to me. Plateau, yeah.
Plateau. No, it's plateau.
No, you just said the same thing.
No, I said plateau, but I'm saying plateau to show you where I'm accenting it, because you're going plateau, and I'm going plateau.
Okay, you know what?
Plateau.
Tell you what. Let's just split the difference. I'm trying to think is hit a Plato.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, if we had hit a Plato, we would either be in Greece, which would be kind of nifty, or Plato would have been resurrected, which is also nifty.
Yep.
Like,
we've reached our cruising altitude through the world of forms.
Hey, guy, can you tell us what Socrates was like? And he'd be like, oh, always with the Socrates.
Yeah. What
you think
about
he'd be
me?
Like that?
What about me? He's probably sick of Socrates.
Well, we've done 30 episodes. This is our 29 episodes. This is our 30th episode. I promised a big 30th episode of Mathon, and this is it. You're having it right now.
We promised spectacular. We promised, I believe, I don't know if we explicitly promised or implied, like, guests, length, excitement, and we
girth.
May deliver on some of those things.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, I see 31 fans on Facebook. I thought we were at 30. What happened?
I don't know.
Have 31 and I'm just crazy?
Yeah, I think the boring answer, like, as much as I'd like to spin that into something clever, I think the boring answer is, yeah, we had 31.
Yeah, because Cecilia Reed is still the last one listed.
Mm-hmm.
And we know she doesn't exist.
Okay, so...
We did get mail, so later in the show we'll have a mailbag segment, like we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mailbag.
Yeah. It's a small bag, because it's two letters, but it's a bag.
Well, Dave, I'm going to kick you in your mail bag.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Scrotum.
That's funny.
Okay, scrotum.
That is funny, though.
Scrotum, yeah.
I don't know how we haven't made that joke yet.
I don't know. That seems like an upset for us, avoiding a scrotum joke.
But,
man.
So, this is the first segment. I'm kind of going with, this is a Seinfeldian episode. This is an episode about nothing.
Mm-hmm. No pressing topics. Nothing major. Nothing going on in your life. I will say, in the past 3 weeks since our last show,
right,
city got hit by the spring bat and hard.
Yeah, no snow. Well, there's still snow, actually, which is kind of creepy.
Oh, wait, where? In some of the, like, giant parking lot mounds?
I saw two little mounds on the Lee side of Mudge Hall at CMU's campus, Guardian Middle Campus.
The Lee side?
The Lee side. The side that the sun doesn't hit as much.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Yes. So, I think that's it. I think that's the only place I've still seen it.
Because it is 60s and 70s now. It is smooth sailing.
Tales were told of snow coming back.
Yeah, but that turned out to be full of shit.
Now it's rain.
Yep.
I don't know. I see, the funny part about that is that I didn't hear there was going to be snow again until it was already rain.
Mm-hmm. So you heard that subjunctively there could have been snow,
right,
but wasn't.
Exactly. Which is a fun way to find out about things.
But yeah,
it's... Oh, this was totally going to happen, but now it's not. Well, I didn't know it was going to happen, so...
So...
Should I be disappointed?
That affects you very little, as it turns out. You know?
Very, very precious little. So, Dave.
Yeah?
Tell me something about nothing.
Okay, sure. I'll say when I was coming over here... Because, you know, people are out. People are doing stuff.
Yeah. They're wearing
turning
their spring
on,
clothes.
You know? Yep. A guy on a dirt bike... flashed me some sort of sign. I don't know what it was. But kind of like half the shocker, but half like making a shadow puppet wolf.
Shadow puppet wolf shocker. I'm trying to do that with my hands right now. I kind of get where you're going.
No, because it had like the fingers together like a shocker, but it also seemed to have like a little eye mound like a shadow puppet wolf.
Maybe he really just can't do the shocker well.
Yeah, he might just be a guy who's bad at the shocker, or he might be in a dirt bike gang. I don't know, that might be their dirt bike gang sign.
Did he think you were also in the dirt bike gang?
If
or
he did,
he
he's not
thinking.
Was he throwing
you the sign possibly to see if you were in the dirt bike gang?
I don't know, if he did, then he's not thinking very hard, because I was not in a dirt bike. I did not have a helmet, I was in an automobile.
So it was a total bust.
It was just a bust all around. I was just looking, it was very confusing.
Well, dirt bike gang thing, I guess, yeah, that's nothing then.
Yeah, there was another guy with a dirt bike there, like maybe on the opposite side of me. Maybe he's throwing that guy a high sign. I don't know.
I don't know. So you're saying dirt bike gangs are roaming Pittsburgh.
And at least a dirt bike duo. I can confirm a dirt bike duo with some sort of hand signals.
Okay.
I don't know if they're in a gang.
Well, my nothing topic is that I've been playing Dwarf Fortress for a week now.
Explain Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah, Dwarf Fortress is a game, a video game, made by some guys. It's free to download and play. It is, you go and make a fortress. You have a few dwarves, and you go and make a fortress with them.
Okay, so Dwarf Fortress is the game where you make a fortress with dwarves.
Yeah, with dwarves, yeah. You build into the side of the mountain. It gets a little more complicated than that, though.
Actually, from what I remember, because I tried to play it for like maybe 10, 15 minutes once, it gets... insanely sort of comically more complicated.
Yeah, comically more complicated
is
pretty much how...
It's not just like, you know, say, you know, a Warcraft thing where it's like, okay, you have your peon who builds, you know, who cuts lumber and brings it to your wood depository. It's like you have a peon who cuts lumber and brings it to your wood depository, and he's manic depressive, and his left leg is broken.
Yeah.
And he
has his left leg is broken, Dave. He's not getting
any
wood.
And he has a kitten.
He's lying there and waiting for people to bring him water, pretty much. And he's just a lump. And you kind of wish there was a, you know, shoot him and put him out of his misery option, but there isn't. Yeah, like,
Yeller,
you know, crazy things happen in Dwarf Fortress because of the level of detail in the game. Now, the graphics are terrible. In fact, in the default game, there aren't graphics. It's just ASCII characters. But you can get a tile set kind of thing that people have developed.
If you're being
to make
ambitious,
it a little more graphically, you know, interesting,
playable.
Crazy things happen. One of my farmers got attacked by a monkey. The monkey ripped her left eye out.
Ow!
And since the incident, she has problems maintaining consciousness. She'll just pass out while doing various tasks, like, you know. You know, the farmer has passed out while trying to eat. The farmer has passed out while trying to plant a seed.
So,
actually, the way the game puts it is, farmer suspended action. You know, eat reason unconscious. Yeah. So
basically, a monkey has ripped her eye out, causing narcolepsy. Long story short,
doesn't make a lot of sense, but yeah, that's what happened. You know, you get, elves come in, these elven traders come in, and they're like, hey, you know, we want to trade with you. And if you try to trade them wood, they get really mad, because they love trees. And so that can be fun. I killed kobolds, you know, and then their bodies rot, and then you get the bones, and you give them to the craftspeople, and the craftspeople make, like, rings and stuff out of them.
Oh, so, like, basically you murder things, and then you scrimshaw?
Yeah. Nice. And then, you know, the human caravan comes, and you're like, hey, look at all this stuff I made out of kobold bones. And they're like, awesome, we want to buy this stuff. So it's really nifty. Dwarves occasionally go into strange moods where they go crazy and are obsessed, and it basically means that they have the inspiration to make an artifact, so you have to give them the stuff to make the artifact. But then it turns out the artifact's like a metal earring or something, and you're like, what? I don't even care. I don't even care that you made a metal earring. This is of no use to us. You could have made an axe or like a crossbow, but you made an earring, and it's not interesting.
Hey, sometimes dwarves just want to look pretty.
I don't care.
They're trying to distract away from their fucked up eyes.
So no, that's something the problem else nice is, on their face. They won't wear the earring. It just lays on the ground until I sell it or box it up or any other number of things. And then there's whole things where you're trying to pump water into your fortress and it floods.
Yeah,
and
you kill have a to bunch plumb of guys. It,
oh, man.
You have to run piping.
The funny thing about those games, whenever I play them, like Civilization or Master of Orion or Dwarf Fortress, is you're telling, like in Dwarf Fortress, you can't actually tell the dwarves what to do. You can say, I want you to be a farmer. And then you can set up a farm. And they will farm. But you can't actually, like, direct them, say, go here and plant this and make this and blah, blah, blah. It's a roundabout thing, right?
Yeah, basically you have influence, but you can't force them to do stuff.
Right, you set policies and then they behave as they will.
So it's like government.
Right.
You but govern
in
your
dwarf. In those games, I'm always trying to think, who am I? Like, what do I represent, this guy on the other side of the keyboard? I'm not the mayor, because that's a guy right there, and I can't control him. He could go crazy and axe murder everybody in the fortress, which actually happened to me in one of my fortresses this week.
Because the mayor went insane?
He was the expedition manager. He wanted to make an artifact. I didn't have the right stuff. He went berserk and murdered 5 people.
Oh.
It happened.
Good for him. Wait, or bad. I take that back. Bad for him. That sounds like a bad thing that happened.
It was a bad situation. It was hard to get the dwarves going again after that. That was like half the population, too. There was only maybe a dozen dwarves, you know? So it wasn't good for the anyways. So I'm not the mayor, right? I'm not the king. He shows up later and demands a fancy room and sits around on his ass. He's useless. I'm like the spirit of this civilization or something. Except I'm very bureaucratic.
You're sort of the spiritual advisor. I don't know. Yeah, that is weird. Because I mean, in other games where you can actually directly control units. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, who's that guy too? Now that you think about it, that's not the same guy, but it's still who's
it's a different
that guy?
But yeah. Who's that guy? When you play Civilization and you raise the civilization up from, you know, 4,000 BCE to, you know, modern day, who are you? You're a 6,000-year-old guy?
I don't know, and it's just always the curve of time. That 'cause I remember when I played Civilization, this might have just been because I was never very good at it.
Yeah,
what always made me sad is when I suddenly started being super ahead of time to being behind time. Like, it would be the kind of thing where it's like, you know, it starts out, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, it's 1000 BC, and I've already got, you know, guys on horses and catapults. It's like, awesome. But then suddenly it's like, now it's 1800, and this guy has stealth bombers, and I'm just like, I built a bigger catapult. Like, it's there's a certain point where
you're not very good at them.
No, I'm bad at it. I like video games, but I'm pretty bad at most video games.
I'm good at some video games.
Like, I don't care that like my enemies have gotten ahead of me on the curve of technology.
Yeah.
But I'm always sad in that game when history passes me. Like, when I fall behind how history goes.
Yeah, that is that's sad.
Like, it's 1942 and I'm here with like a galley, and I'm like, my triremes are sailing in 1942, and I have like one ironclad.
Take
and
another
I'm just
example.
Like, God damn it!
Of who is this guy? Warcraft 3, right? Like in Warcraft 3, I'm a guy telling Arthas what to do, you know, or telling Thrall what to do. How does that make sense? There's nobody who told Thrall what to do. Thrall did it. But I'm not Thrall because he's right there.
In that case, I think it's a role-playing game where you're assuming the role of whatever heroes in the... But yeah, it's fuzzy. Video games are confusing that way.
Video games are confusing. But yeah, talking about being good at games but bad at games, I felt good when I beat Batman Arkham Asylum, and it felt like it was pretty easy. Then I started doing the challenge modes, and that's ridiculous.
I was okay at some of
them. I didn't play Street Fighter 2 for a reason. You know, I didn't play that game in the arcade because I am not good at pushing buttons in the right order. I want to hit them all as hard as I can and make it work. And if I can't do that, that's upsetting. And in Arkham Asylum for the combo, you know, bonus rounds.
Yeah, you really got to time that stuff.
Hit
A,
then hit Z, then hit this one, and then you got to hit this one. But you can't let that guy do this, so you got to do this. It's really, who's doing that? Why are there achievement points for that? I just want the achievement points, man. That's not right.
And also, apparently, the guy who writes your strategy guides is like, I don't know what that voice was, but it was like...
He's a douchebag.
It was half...
He probably rode a skateboard in high school, but now he doesn't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that guy. That's
right. You do this, and then you do this. And then when your meter reaches full, you hit the X button followed by the A button. That guy.
I'm not sure if that guy's a guy, but okay.
That guy is a guy, man. That guy is a guy. Don't tell me that guy's not a guy. I just sat here and told you the guy was a guy, and you're going to tell me the guy isn't a guy?
Okay, fine. That guy's a guy.
All right, good.
All right, now that we've resolved that, I think we can take ourselves a break.
Oh, no, you're going to take a break?
Yeah. All
right, we can sort this out during the break. That guy is a guy, all right? I don't even want to hear it from you. All right. We'll be right back with more. I'm trying to think. Here comes more of episode 30 of I'm Trying to Think.
I like that guy. Who's that guy?
Uh-oh. Look out.
I kind of like uh-oh guy best. Uh-oh guy. Because that sounds like the combination of, like, one, he's a radio DJ, but he's also a three-year-old who just pooped in his pants.
Uh-oh. I made a boom-boom in episode 30 of I'm Trying to Think.
Yes. All right, let's keep that guy around.
Yeah, that was I Wouldn't Want to Be Like You, that song.
That just sounded like a confused syntax of you being mean to me. That's what that sounded like.
No, that's the Alan Parsons Project, I Wouldn't Want to Be Like You, from iRobot. Not to be confused with iRobot, that book and that movie.
Also, iRobot, that company, what makes the Roomba.
And, the first song that we opened up with was Let's Be Mates by Lady Sovereign.
You know, now that I think about it, is it wise for a robot company to name themselves after the iRobot stories and film?
Really, it really depends how you feel about... I mean, also the story and the film are kind of different.
Entirely different, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe the books are a bit more nuanced than, you know... Robots have laws that prevent them from killing us, but they're going to kill us. I believe the book has more nuance.
We'll say slightly more nuance.
Okay.
But, so those were the songs. I like to tell people what the songs are because when they listen to the songs,
so they know.
That kind of sounded interesting. Why won't they tell me what that song is? And I'm telling them, so they won't ask that question.
Yeah, you nipped that in the bud.
I nipped it in the bud. All right, Dave, you had some sort of story and question thing, because apparently nothing is not good enough for you.
No, I would say...
I'm not saying nothing is good enough for you. I'm saying nothing is not good enough for you.
You know, it's pretty generous to call the topic...
Because nothing isn't good enough for you.
You're trying to confuse me.
I'm not
going to
say nothing is good enough for you.
Yeah, I understand.
Because nothing is not good enough
for you. You're trying to confuse me. No, nothing is not good enough for me. Right. I demand something.
Okay.
Although, honestly, I feel like calling this something... What we're about to go into? Generous. But,
all right.
Okay. So.
Well, something is better than nothing.
Yeah. You get something for nothing sometimes. That's a pretty good change.
You can't get something for nothing.
No, sometimes you can.
That sounds like a free lunch, which we all know there's no such thing as. Yeah. Yeah. Did I just blow your mind? Kaboom.
Yep.
Oh, okay. No.
Was that kaboom? Was the kaboom?
Kaboom and then you was made in your pants. Oh, no. Has anybody ever blown your mind with a philosophical concept that made you boop your pants?
No, that has not happened to me. No.
That would be a pretty good concept, man. That would be pretty strong. If you're just like, I've lost control of my bowels.
That's a different...
Oh, no. All right.
Oh, wait, I just realized that radio DJ who says, oh, no, is Kool-Aid Man.
He is. You're right. That is Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Okay.
I didn't realize that Kool-Aid Man is a radio DJ.
Yeah.
You're listening to K1FM, Kool-Aid Station. Oh, yeah.
Sharkleberry and the Finn.
Oh, Sharkleberry and the Finn. I knew a guy in college who... always had big container, 2 quarts of Sharkleberry, Finn, and vodka in his fridge at all times.
In case of emergency?
In case of emergency. You never know when you're going to need it. That's like a St. Bernard kind of thing, you know, they carry around those...
The cask. You know, I've got to tell you, though, if I'm, like, trapped in a mountain, it's like, you know, my arm's on the thing or whatever.
Right. Arm's on the thing.
Yeah, my arm's under the thing.
Under the thing. Oh, it's under the... Okay.
Yeah, if my arm's on the thing, I just get up and walk away.
Well, it depends on the thing that it's on. And what's on the thing that it's on.
Okay, yeah, my arm is pinned between a thing and another thing. It's on a thing and under a thing.
Exactly.
So...
That's why I have problems sleeping.
Why you have to be specific.
Sometimes I can't go to sleep at night because I'm worried about, tomorrow, what if I go out and my arm's on a thing and under a thing?
But anyhow, okay, so I'm on the mountain. My arm's on a thing and under another thing.
Right. A
between
dog's coming.
Things, as you will. St. Bernard comes with the cask. And that cask is full
of... That's a great St. Bernard impression.
I'm good. I'm bringing you in the moment. We're painting a picture with stories and words and sound effects.
That's such a keeper. Keep going, though. Keep going. I interrupted. That's my fault.
That's fine. But anyhow, yeah, St. Bernard's coming in. You know, he's doing his thing. He's got a barrel on his neck. And then, you know, I look at the label of that barrel, and it says, Sharkleberry, Finn, and Vodka. I'm just going to say, you know, roll on, puppy.
Yeah.
Pass. I'm waiting for the next St. Bernard.
Alcohol constricts the blood vessels, and if your arm's on a thing and under a thing, that might not be good for you. You want the blood flow to keep, you know.
No, I'm just saying.
You could lose an arm.
Wait.
And then, from then on, your arm would always be under a thing and on a thing.
Because that's where it was.
That's where it was.
So I'm just saying, Sharkleberry, Finn, and Vodka, no thank you, sir.
On the St. Bernard thing, was St. Bernard a dog? Or do you love dogs?
I don't know.
Was he sainted for making a dog?
Was he the patron saint of casks?
Casks full of what? What are those casks actually supposed to be full of? Like hot chocolate or something?
I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really... My brain always said hot chocolate, and I think that's just me being hopeful.
I always thought it was supposed to be full of some sort of booze.
Booze would be better.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trapped on the mountain. Nobody coming to get you except a dog. At least you can be drunk.
You know the thing about it, do they, like, is there a team of guys, or just like, let's just send some dogs with casks out?
I don't know, but I just thought about something, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this. If... I get some sort of terminal cancer or something.
And you're stuck in a mountain.
No, just eliminate the mountain. Let's say I'm in a hospital room. I want to be drunk. You know what I mean? The last moments of my life, if I'm going to be dying of a terminal cancer, I need to, you know, be medically supplied with whiskey and...
Should it be provided by a dog?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I think that would make me happier. But I'm just saying, I don't think a lot of people are allowed to be drunk.
When they need to. When bad news is happening.
Well, you know, anti-euthanasia.
Wait, no, keep going with your euthanasia.
So anti-euthanasia that we don't let people, you know, make a lot of medical decisions for themselves when it's obvious that they're going to die. We won't let people just leave the hospital or jump off a cliff or go skydiving without a parachute.
But can we at least let them be drunk?
Yeah, right? Let's let them be drunk. I mean, if a doctor was like, no, it'll exacerbate your condition. I'm like, yeah, I want to exacerbate.
Okay, so just wrapping around a little bit. All right. Now we're talking about, you know, letting people get drunk in hospitals. So that's got an idea. So the St. Bernard and the mountains thing with the cask, that's essentially, I think, because, you know, you don't know how many people you're looking for. It's rugged conditions. So, you know, you need, you know, a big dog with a big cask full of liquor, right? So, but if it's a hospital, you know, it's urban conditions, you know, it's not, and you know, how much you're supplying. So I'm just thinking, like, shot chihuahuas or, like, shot poodles. Like, get, a cute little dog with, like, a shot cask. Like, a cask that's, like, a shot.
And up on your bed and you just take the shot.
Yeah.
Also, children's hospitals. If a kid's dying from a terminal illness, let's suspend the laws for them. You know what I mean? Let the kid drink. That's all I'm saying.
You know, what I like about where that this conversation just went, I'll tell you right now, is that you said that as if it's part of a dialogue and like his larger ongoing issue where it's like you're taking a position opposed to other positions that people have that are out there in some sort of dialogue.
There are a lot of people who are anti-kids drinking. That's all I'm saying. I see a lot of it with the MAD and the TV and the after-school specials. A lot of people are like, don't let kids drink. I'm saying, in a children's hospital situation, let the kids drink.
All right, so now you started that dialogue. That's good. I'm glad this
finished. I finished that dialogue. It's over. All right, so you had a story.
Okay, so I guess segueing from...
Segue hell, man. You had a story. Let's do this.
Speaking of...
Kids drinking.
Speaking of kids drinking. So I'm at the bar. I'm at my local neighborhood bar with my girlfriend, and we're drinking. And...
So now you have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's
keep going. Yes. Anyhow, so we're at my local neighborhood bar, D6 Packs and Dogs, and we're, you know, having some beer, having some hot dogs, having...
They fancied that place up. It's a fancy place now.
A little bit. I mean, it's still, you know...
For a dive bar, it's fancy.
Yeah. It's kind of your upscale dive bar, you know, lots of microbrews kind of thing. So, you know, we're having that. We're having, you know, fries. And I'm just going to say, this is a message to anywhere that sizes anything, you know. People talk about this, you know... It's almost cliche to talk about this at Starbucks.
Right.
But I'm going to say, you know, D's where you can get, you know, you can get handful, small, and large, I think.
Okay.
If you have three sizes, fuck you, name them small, medium, and large.
All right. Okay? Yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
But anyhow.
But people don't.
No. But anyhow, we're drinking, and sort of next to us, I think, you know, he starts, you know, recommending beer choices, you know, because this is while we're trying to choose our beers.
Uh-huh.
You know, we start getting beer recommendations and, you know, discussion of beer choices from sort of gregarious inebriate, you know, gregarious drunk guy.
Gregarious inebriate.
Yep.
That sounds like...
I tried to pull out some good, solid $5. Sounds like a
Harry Potter name right there.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Professor Gregarious Inebriate.
Oh, that's
He teaches beautiful. Potions, man. He is the new potions instructor.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh.
Harry Potter.
I haven't even
read that. And the Gregarious Inebriate.
I haven't even read those books, but I love that. I love... Oh, man. But you know the guy at the bar.
I know the guy. I went to Hogwarts.
But, you know, this one, I'd say he was about, you know, in terms of how tolerable that guy can be, there's a certain, you know, grade system. And, you know, I'd say this guy was a good solid B+. It's like, you know... He talked, you know, a little more than you want to talk with him, but but it was pleasant conversation. You know what I mean?
That's good.
He was not, you know, gregarious drunk guy. We're just like, oh God, stop talking to me. Oh God, I could not more clearly in body language and can be communicating disinterest, but you won't stop talking. Because I think we've all talked to that guy at some point too, right?
I've talked to a lot of guys who fit that profile.
So this guy was, you know, definitely more of a B+, you know. Again, he still had a little bit of that social blindness of, and you're no longer quite wanted to be in the conversation. He had a bit of that blindness, but he was still pleasant.
All right.
So anyhow, what comes up during the conversation, and is, you know, just in general, he's asking, you know, okay, so where are you guys from? You know, like, where do you guys live, you know? And, you know, my girlfriend's like, you know, oh, I live out in Shadyside. And I'm like, you know, oh, I live right here in Regent Square.
Uh-huh.
And his mind was blown. Like, he might have well have been just like, oh, well, I live in Poughkeepsie, New York, and she is from Mars. Like, he's just like, you know, how did you guys meet? Like, it was just like it was a star-crossed romance. Like, and he was blown away. And just for the benefit of any listeners who are not local, it's like, you know, her house is a 15-minute drive from my apartment.
And that's only because you have to drive through a town.
Yeah, it's two lefts and a right.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally probably 2 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what that made me wonder, and, you know, since you know, Pittsburgh is my adopted home city at this point, but, you know, you know the ins and outs of it.
Yeah.
More than I do. So I gotta, so,
and I'm a man of the world. You know?
I know Pittsburgh is a very sort of neighborhood focused city, which I like. And it's got distinct neighborhoods, you know, they have character. But I never thought it was that sort of provincial about neighborhoods.
No, I think, like, you met a crazy guy.
Uh-huh. Because for me, the reason that wouldn't work is it's not like a New York City borough thing where it's like you can live in Staten Island, everything's like, it's because there's nowhere in Pittsburgh proper that you can't get to somewhere else in Pittsburgh in about a half hour, tops.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So it was just, he was.
Maybe he thought, so you confused, said, you know,
at how baffled he was. It was
Canada. Maybe he thought you said Canada. She's from Canada. You're from right there. See,
Regent Square. So it was just,
how did you guys meet? And does he, like, not leave Regent Square? Did you ask him if he ever left Regent Square?
I didn't. Actually, I was curious. I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, split the difference. We met in the middle in Squirrel Hill. Sure. Because it just,
that is where you met, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, that is correct. That is what I said. You know, that's what happened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, did he find that answer satisfactory?
I think he was able to accept it, but it was still a little blown away. And I was like, no, seriously, it's a 15-minute drive.
It's really not. Yeah, I'm just confused. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I thought you were maybe going to talk about people's provincial loyalty. Like, well, I'm from Shadyside, and no, I'm from the north side, and then they would fight. Which I could see, because Pittsburghers will fight for barely any reason. But that just makes no sense. No, that guy was just an idiot.
Okay, because that didn't seem like it would make any sense to me. And I know people, you know, from Pittsburgh, and none of them have had that sort of insane sort of neighborhood-orientedness to them. But I didn't know maybe that was a thing. I didn't know.
That's not really a thing.
Okay. So it's just, I don't know, is it possible? Are there some people who are just really that, doesn't know?
Yes, there are some people who are that ignorant and stupid, Dave. That doesn't really have anything to do with Pittsburgh or not Pittsburgh. They're just dumb people.
Here's the thing. He didn't read like a stupid guy.
Well, he talked like a stupid guy.
And that's, you know, that's what, fair.
You know,
that's, you know, a good what way they to said judge. On the
Forrest Gump. Stupid is as stupid does. And that is pretty fucking stupid. So, I mean, that's my take on it. It could be wrong. But that's what I'm thinking. Are you ready for a little break then?
Yeah, sure. I think we've resolved that.
All right, then. Well, we will be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. I'm Trying to Think, episode 30. That was Off the Record by My Morning Jacket.
Well, yeah, it was. It's just from a computer.
No. Anyways. Oh, so, mailbag.
Mailbag. You're not up for the
Abbott. Keep you in the mailbag.
Man, we had like an No Abbott and Costello kind of thing?
No.
Shot down.
Shot down. All right. So, we got mail from mailbag people who send us mail.
Yep.
I haven't really pre-screened this mail.
Yeah, I read it. I read it and forgot about it.
That's what we do to your mail. But we still think you should mail us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Yeah, with that sort of sterling.
We read the mail, man.
Motivation.
We always respond. We always talk about mail on the air, as it were. So, I mean, you should still write. We're still going to read these messages, which is your goal, right? Come on, write to
presumably.
contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Presumably.
Do it.
That's the
do
goal.
Do it now. Pause. Pause the show. Write to contact that I'm trying to think.
Or you can keep playing and just write while you play if you can.
That
would
be confusing. But anyways.
I know, I listen to podcasts while I'm doing work.
All right,
we got
a message from Greg. Here's the first sentence is, isn't cat in a box a phrase used more than once by Dominic DeGrady? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. I don't think I've ever heard him say it. So I have no idea what the hell Greg's talking about.
All right, awesome. Moving on. And on a more or less relevant point for the show, because I know Dave has a hard-on for Noam Chomsky. I did not know that, Dave.
I have a hard-on for Brandon Bird's Noam Chomsky print. I want that.
That
Noam
is
Chomsky,
good.
I could take or leave.
That is good. You don't have a feeling about manufactured consent? You don't?
Eh.
All right. I have feelings, but whatever.
Nothing more than feelings. Trying to forget these feelings of Noam Chomsky.
He's linking to this Piraha, a bizarre language that, if the former Pitt linguist Daniel Everett is correct, basically fucks up Chomsky's rules of human language, Greg says. Especially that of grammatical recursion. There are other aspects of the language that are bizarre, such as a lack of description of actions at an arbitrary distance, lack of cardinal numbers, lack of ability to speak of events outside of one's lifetime, etc.
Yeah, I think that's neat.
Greg says, maybe it's worth mentioning, or perhaps the underlying Everett versus Chomsky feud. I have no idea about any of this.
Yeah.
I hate linguistics.
That's
it's
strong
interesting,
linguistics.
But I have no interest in really studying it or learning about it.
Yeah, my thing about linguistics is, like, I hear things about linguistics, and I'm just like, oh, that's neat. But then it just goes right through me.
Yeah.
So it's like Olestra chips.
I'm sorry, Greg, that we have no idea what you're really going on about, but...
But that sounds interesting. I will look up... Because that language sounds crazy. That sounds like...
That does sound like crazy.
Like, I will check that out. We will read up on it. And we will, much like your mail, we'll read up on it. And be like, ah, neat! And then forget about it.
All right, we have another message here.
Mm-hmm.
This one is more likely to have us talk about something. From Fred, he writes, I can't argue with you folks on epistemology, or even epist him on orgy, which I'm pretty sure is a website somewhere. But I think you guys are on the wrong track about the etymology of the phrase make-believe. Rather than using make as in force, I theorize it's actually make as in create, since the activity is more about creating a fake set of beliefs. I'll go on and finish this. But I have to say, I'm far too amused by the idea of Mr. Rogers' land of make-believe being a place where Mr. Rogers actively forces you to believe that King Friday the 13th is their sovereign king who rules by virtue of divine right and bloody force, and that's why you better stay on Fred Rogers' good side. That's
right.
Funny. But
yeah,
let's talk about that for a second. Okay, make as in force and make as in create. Here's... where I hate hippies.
Oh.
Hippies cannot see that the act of creation is an act of destruction. In order to create, you must take something that exists as X and turn it into Y, thus ending its existence as X. Right? This transfers over to the idea of pretending. You have to destroy the conception that you have that this doesn't exist in order to create the conception that it does in your brain. And while for most of us, I think we would say that pretending we exist in a sort of limbo state where something both exists and does not exist, the creation is forced. And that's it. I mean, it's both. You can't make something out of nothing without a force of will. Dave.
That seemed like a stretch. I think you're stretching a little there.
No, I'm not stretching. I'm sitting comfortably.
I think your creation is an act of destruction stuff. I don't disagree with that. Those are all reasonable points. All
right.
Where I think you're stretching is germaneness.
Germaneness.
Germanosity.
Germanosity.
I don't think those points are very German to the conversation.
What's the difference between forcing something and creating something? With specific context of make-believe and pretending.
Well, in this case, I think if you're talking make as in force versus make as in create.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say make-believe. Well, for starters, are we talking about a single person, like?
I don't know.
Are we talking about agents acting on else? Because
he was talking about
making someone else. Yeah.
He's talking about etymology,
right? Well, in that case, you know, if it's real etymology stuff, what I would want to do but won't because we don't have the time, so I'm just going to continue talking
like
straight
books.
Out my bum.
Yeah.
Would be get the actual etymology of the word make,
which I don't have. Yeah, I can tell you in French, the word make is used in so many different weird contexts. For instance, when the French say it's raining, they're actually saying it makes rain.
Hmm.
So, there you go. But I mean, I can
look
up... Oh
man, wait, hold on.
All right.
So, if in French, raining is making rain...
Yeah,
Then what's French for making it rain?
I have no idea. They'd probably just say, it makes rain. Instead, they'll say he makes rain.
Ah.
You know.
Okay. Because I'm just curious how French rappers handle that.
Sacre bleu! That's how French rappers handle that.
Oh, I hate that I like that.
Sacre bleu! Actually, I mean, that's kind of stolen from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really?
What is his name? Kenan Thompson? He does a bit on the news segment sometimes where he pretends to be a French rapper. From the French Def Comedy Jam.
I see.
Yeah. He doesn't always just say Sacre Bleu. He says just French phrases in a...
But given...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live, I'm sure he says Sacre Bleu a lot.
Well, I mean, you know. Have you seen him do the bit with the... what's up with that show?
That is a charming...
Oh
that
my god, every
sketch.
Time it makes me laugh. It's just some repetitive things, Dave, work.
Yeah, against repetition.
No.
I'm not against repetition.
No. You are against making. There are 38 definitions of make.
Okay, then you know what? Here's how I think we should settle this.
What's the source on this?
We should settle this. Okay. Start scrolling down and looking at them, and I'll explain what I think we want to do.
That's 38 of the verb used with objects. Then there are 39 to 47 are verb used without object. 48 to 56 is noun. And then 57 to 84 are it's a transitive verb. Well, it's a compound verb or verb phrases, yeah.
Okay, well,
idioms. Some of those are idioms, sorry.
Pick the best for make.
Put the make on. To make sexual overtures to.
You were defining put the make on.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought to make sexual overtures to was another idiom. And I'm like, that's just a sentence. That doesn't seem very idiomatic.
Yeah, put the make on. The origin is Middle English, makin' or mockin' or something. From Old English, machian.
And that means... Oh, that just says the word.
That's it. I might be able to find a better source, but dictionary.reference.com.
Yeah. Actually, let's get back to that later.
Maybe find the funniest definition. Let's go with 13. I like the number. To do, effect, to make a bargain.
Okay.
30. informal, to gain or acquire a position within. He made the big time. Or, you know, like, he makes it. Or he's making it.
Right.
Big time, he's on his way, he's making it. 35 to earn as a score. The team made 40 points in the first half.
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. I think between sort of the etymology that we, and I'm using we in sort of this royal we as a podcast, and let's be honest, the etymology you came up with of, you know, make kind of, with an implied of, you know, forcing to believe.
Right.
Versus, you know, make as in, you know, create as, you know, Fred has said. I'm just going to say, let's split the difference, junk those both, and just use make as in earn points.
I just don't think there's any difference. You know,
in the first half, we made believe.
I think there's an illusory difference. I think Fred is making an illusory point.
Distinction without difference, you think?
Yeah, right, exactly. The first definition is to bring into existence by shaping or changing material, combining parts, etc. Now, obviously, with...
Yeah, material we're throwing out.
Material you
right
can
now.
Kind of throw
yeah.
out. But we can say to bring into existence, right? And maybe to bring into existence by effort of will or effort of mind, right?
Yeah, okay, in this case, yeah, make...
That it's both that forcing way. And creating.
Yeah, that is seeming as more similar as I think about that.
Yeah, I just don't see a difference.
Yeah. The creation and destruction stuff was like, that you went off on, that was pretty much sort of a sidebar. It was, but yeah, I just wanted
to yell about hippies.
Yeah, yeah. I think that sort of, to me, that sort of non-germane hippie yelling made me not understand your actual
point.
Well,
too bad, Dave.
Which is about correct, yeah.
Screw a hippie. I mean, literally, if she's cute, but you know. Well, not literally, because screwing a hippie in that case would mean either to place a screw into her or to use her as a device for fastening, which would be pretty gruesome. It wouldn't work.
That's no good for anybody.
Nah, it's just not going to work. Give up now. I was actually, you know, talking about distinction without difference. I was thinking about the old free will determinism.
Right. I think that's the classic place where people like that phrase.
Well, yeah, I just remember we did a show. I couldn't tell you what episode it was. I wish I could, but I can't. Somebody out there, like a fan, should start a
7.
Wiki. Are you correct in that, or is that a guess?
Yes.
Right. So the idea, though, you know, that I just don't think that either one is relevant, or I don't think they're existent things. I don't think free will and determinism are existent as people define them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And making believe, whether it's forcing or creating, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm willing to leave it there.
I mean, yeah, like exactly. Like Mr. Rogers wasn't putting a gun to your head, but also, you know, without effort, without force, there's no creation.
I mean, yeah, he was creating because, I mean, it's, you know, Mr. Rogers' land of make-believe, you know, he both, you know, yeah, he doesn't force you like in a sort of aggressive sense of force, you
people,
know.
People are too ready to hear force and assume that against your will is there somewhere, or that, you know, against choice is there. No, we force ourselves to do things, not against our will or against our choice, but against inertia.
I mean, force is a fundamental thing
in physics. It makes stuff move or stop moving. I mean, and you know.
It just has this sort of connotation, you know.
Yeah, it has a connotation.
That's kind
of
a Jack Ruby connotation people
yeah,
give
which
it.
Is, yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
It's just, Dave, you know, objects in motion.
Dave, what equation do I need to know to conduct this argument?
F equals ma.
Exactly. That's all I needed to know. All right. So, Dave. Except imagination is probably massless, so that's going to cause some real problems.
Oh, man, yeah, that's... What is the speed of imagination?
I don't know, man. I do not know.
Where's King Friday when you need him?
Yeah, he could tell us
answer these
shit.
Important questions.
He's like an expert, and he's got a goofy voice. I don't know, that's how I remember it going.
I don't even remember it.
It's been a long time.
I don't know. If it's not Fred Rogers, I don't remember a single thing from that show.
The studio where they filmed that is like... Right over the hill.
Yeah, I know. I lived like...
You lived like a block from there.
Yeah, I lived less than a block from it once.
Oh.
I mean...
Look out.
I was in Mudge.
That's so crazy. You know. Where the snow is.
Yeah.
We got a
bringing
whole
it back around.
Oh yeah, we got a whole circle
we've
going.
Built ourselves a universe.
Now that
we've
completed
done.
The circle and built the universe, Dave. Is there anything else you'd like to say? I mean, this was episode 30. This is supposed to be big. It's not going to be as big as episode 50. I'm already promising you, the listener, episode 50 is going to be huge.
And that's a promise we have a slightly better chance of keeping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this has already happened. And
it wasn't huge.
It was good.
It wasn't a bad episode.
No, good things sometimes
of all the 30 episodes, it's probably the best one.
Yeah, good things sometimes come in packages that are like 5 to 10 minutes shorter than they sometimes are.
That was confusing. Dave, we don't fill time just to fill time, Dave.
No.
If I wanted to fill time, I could fill time. I could fill time right now. I could filibuster the hell out of this podcast, if that's what you want. This could be the filibuster podcast. I could read the frickin' the phone book. Do people still have those? I mean, my bunny does, but...
Yeah, mostly for eating.
He eats it. He, like, rips it up.
Oh, man,
we could just
put that on Mike and go take a break.
Yeah, I mean...
Mike Bunny eating them.
If you want to listen to the Bunny podcast, trust me, it is not as interesting because he doesn't make noise.
Okay, you know what? I tell you what.
What?
I think we've got it covered. We're done. Let's sign off. And then we'll have another bonus hour for Bunny eating a phone book.
Okay. Well, we could go episodes 31 through 49, Bunny could cover. Then we'll come back for episode 50, and we will come in swinging like it ain't nobody's business. You know what I mean?
Well, actually, here's one problem, though.
All right.
If we're podcasting like it's nobody's business,
okay,
then I'm turning off the fucking mics.
This isn't your business. This is nobody's business.
You have no reason to hear this.
Don't, yeah.
This is private.
This is a private matter between friends. We don't, yeah. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to episode 30. Episode 31 will totally be your business. That'll come in 2 weeks. Ish. You know, ish.
No, I think probably 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, barring sickness.
Disaster. Nuclear
weird
explosion,
plans, yeah.
Other things of dangerous varieties. But
yep.
All right, well, I'm going to leave them, Dave, with The Strokes' Reptilia. You know, you love this song. I love this song. This is a song we love. So we'll be back for episode 31. In the meantime, enjoy your 2 weeks. Say goodbye, Dave.
Bye, folks.
Think presents Bunnies Eating Paper.